Yeah. All the time. Even when it doesn't look right to us, God is great all the time. Amen. That's why we owe him our best praise.
Yeah.
All the time. All the time we owe him our first fruits.
Yeah.
And never our leftovers. We don't serve a leftover God. Amen.
Yeah.
I won't be. I said this every week, don't I? Don't let me lie. I was going to say I won't be before you, Lord. I'm going to try. All right. So we'll get this done. We'll get through what we need to get through. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4. We're just going to lift verses 8 and 9. We read 1 through 9 in your hearing, but we're just going to lift the 8th and 9th verse out of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength, and you are my redeemer. Amen. I said last week I have to be careful what I preach on, because I often get tested on that during the week. Amen. You don't need to hear "hold on, it's going to be all right" from someone who's never had to hold on. Amen. So this week we're talking on a very simple topic, down but not out. Amen. Because sometimes we feel down, do we not?
Yeah.
But we have to understand that sometimes we feel down, but that does not mean that we're out. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 8 and 9 says, we are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Amen? And there was a movie, it was entitled Creed, and there was a boxer, his name was Adonis Creed, and he takes a brutal punch, and he's in the fight for his life, and he gets knocked down to the ground. He hits the floor hard, and the people in his corner started shouting, "Get up, get up." And his opponent walked to the other side of the ring thinking it was over. But while Creed is out, his mind has to be scrolling through all that he's been through. Are you with me? Up until that point, and all the people who loved and motivated him, and then like a jolt, he's up before the count of 10. Come on, somebody. And he's back in the fight. Now, Creed's boxing life may seem to bear little resemblance to our lives as believers, but we encounter battles, and sometimes we don't train intensely enough for them, amen? With dedicated professionals to put us through paces and to shore up our weaknesses, we don't take the time, and we don't know the time, the date, or the location of the next bout, and we don't show up prepared. Our battles are spiritual, and they seem unending in comparison. But in this passage of scripture, Paul shows us boxing, like running, provides a vivid metaphor, I think, for our Christian life. And we can say down but not out. Amen. Paul says in this passage of scripture, we are hard pressed, but not crushed. Now, what does hard pressed mean? If you take it into Greek, amen, because we've got to take it in the right context. Greek means to be pressed or to be squeezed in or pressed. In today's vernacular, it means to be between a rock and a hard place. Come on, like you ain't ever been between a rock and a hard place. Amen. I talk to myself. Sometimes I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. Now, if we go to Corinthians and we move over to chapter 11, it says here, from the Jews, Paul is talking. From the Jews, 5 times I have received 40 stripes, minus 1. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own people, in perils of the Gentiles, in the city and in the wilderness and in the sea, among false brethren, in the toil, in the sleeplessness of nights, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, and this is Paul talking, and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily. My deep concern is for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? This is Paul talking. Come on now. And he says, despite all these troubles and hardships, I was knocked down. But I was never knocked down. Come on, anybody understand that sometimes you're going to get knocked down? Just because Jesus is with you doesn't mean that the storm is not going to come. Just because you know who Jesus is doesn't mean that sometimes you're going to get knocked down. But the Bible says, hard pressed on every side, yet never crushed. Maybe I'll talk to myself. None of us has ever or will likely experience the degree of trouble and persecution that Paul did. But our troubles are every bit as serious to us. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Perhaps right now somebody is going through a situation where it feels like walls are closing in around you. You may be going through a situation where you feel like you have no control. You may be in a situation where it looks like God is not moving. You may be in a situation that may cause you to say things like, why? Why me? Why my mom? Why God, my dad? But understand that sometimes trouble comes and you will be knocked down, but you will never be knocked down. Y'all should have shouted right there. The fact that many of us are here today is a testament that we've been knocked down but not knocked out. Amen? If you can take an honest look back over your life, y'all, every one of you in here, me included, should start crying and shouting and thanking God, because we can look back and see when we were knocked down. We can look down and see when cancer came. We can look down and see when the heart attack came. We can look back and see when a car accident came. We can look back and see when we came home and the wife was gone. When we came home and the husband was gone. When we came home and we found out that our children were locked up. But we understand that sometimes we are knocked down. But right now, if you look at yourself on this side, you should be able to shout, hallelujah, and thank God, because he would knock you down, but you were never, ever knocked down. It's not over until God says it's over. I wish I had some praying folks. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Knocked down, but knocked out. Bruised, but not broken. Those of you who know part of my testimony know that I am a four-time cancer survivor. And every morning when I get out of the shower and I walk past that mirror, I can see the bruises and I can see the scars of what I have been through. And I have to, every morning I have to tell God, thank you. Because I was bruised, but I was never broken. I was knocked down, but I was never knocked out. And I know if he do it for me, unworthy and crazy as I am, he'll do it for you, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, and be real. We don't often see things coming, right? A health crisis, a loss of a loved one, employment, unemployment, shakeups, betrayal, some kind of persecution from somewhere. Sometimes we're aware of these things and sometimes we're not. And when it hits us, it often morphs from a molehill into a mountain. Am I right? And the question isn't if we will find ourselves in a battle. The question is when. My granddaddy used to say, if you don't have a problem today, keep living. If you don't have one tomorrow, I dare you to live a little while longer. Because the day three, you may have two problems.
Yeah.
It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And the Bible says to count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you are met with trials of every kind. Paul says it's part of our privilege as believers. It has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. And we remember vividly times when we've been hit, don't we? And if the truth be told, many of us are still recovering, are we not?
Yes.
Come on, let's be real. Aren't we all in recovery of some sort?
Yeah.
I remember I worked with a lady one time, and somebody brought in some blueberry muffins into the office, and the woman burst into tears out of nowhere. I'm talking about real tears where you got to hand somebody a tissue. You don't know whether to say something or just pat them on the back or drop the box of tissues and run. I mean, she went from 0 to 10 over some blueberry muffins. And I said to her, I said, what's going on? She said, no, I was just thinking about my mom. And now I buried her mom, and her mom has been dead for about 8 years.
Uh-huh.
So I thought to myself, what in the world possibly could have conjured up that kind of emotion that quickly? And she said, my mother always made blueberry muffins. And the smell of those muffins just brought something and stirred something up in my spirit. And I said to myself, boy, 8 years later, and she's still in recovery. Amen. All of us, somewhere, there is something in our life that we are still in recovery from. Amen. Somebody. Stay in the program. Stay in the program. Stay in the race. And allow yourself, Peter says, the church was founded on this, after you have suffered a little while. The Bible says the word suffer, and it says you. After you have suffered a little while, it says the God of all grace will what? He'll strengthen. He'll what? He'll restore you.
Yes.
And when he's finished restoring you, the rest of that scripture says he'll then establish you. Amen, somebody. So understand, go through the process, because at the end of it comes establishment. Woo. That's a word for somebody. Maybe it was for you. And understand this, we have an enemy. I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not here to preach you happy. I'm here to prepare you. We have an enemy. The Bible says we have an enemy. And I don't like this one, because, see, I like to deal with folks. I like to know what you're about. If you don't like me, tell me. So I know how to deal with you. So I know how to pray with you. But this dude that we're dealing with, he specializes in sucker punches. Then this brother starts shaking his head. There ain't nothing worse than somebody that's going to sucker punch you. He won't come to your face with it. He'll go to your wife. And she'll bring it to you in the kitchen. You get a sucker punch before you know it. You're in trouble and didn't do nothing. Vice versa, it goes the other way, because he get us too. But he specializes in sucker punches. He schemes on how he'll execute. He watches for opportune times, and he hits you with a sucker punch when you don't see it coming. Now, nothing touches us apart from the sovereign sanction of the Lord. Understand that. But every so often, we get so high and we get so mighty that we forget where we came from. And sometimes the Lord will do this. And if you're not prayerful and mindful, you won't walk with him. And you get sucker punched. Come on, somebody. You ought to say amen. Paul says, secondly, we are perplexed but not in despair. When Paul says we are perplexed, he is saying, I can't figure it out. I'm confused. I don't understand why these things are happening to me. And I can relate to that, can't you? Sometimes we go through trials and tribulations that are so perplexing, we don't know which way to turn. Am I right? But we do realize that God has a designed purpose in all of our trials and our troubles, because it's ultimately down but not out. Amen? All things work for good for those that love the Lord. So when the trial comes, stop asking why me. Stop saying why me. Say, because the Lord will say why not you. When they were in the boat, amen, and we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that they waited until the boat filled up with water. Jesus was in the boat when the first wave hit the ship, but they thought that they could handle it, and they waited until the boat was full of water, and then went down and said to Jesus, like he didn't already know that there was a storm. He was waiting for them to call on him, because he said, I'm going to stay down here and I'm going to wait for them. If they think they can do it, let them do it. Let the water come. When they got scared and they thought they were going to die, they went down there and they said, hey, what are you doing? Aren't you even concerned that we're going to die? And he said, what's wrong with you? Where is your faith? Down but not out. Now listen, you will go down. I know we don't like to hear that. But you will go down. Some of us have been down.
Yes,
more than once.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to say, I've been down.
Yes.
Some of us are down right now.
Yes.
Life takes a hard hit, and the effect, you know, of being thrown down on your face to the ground sometimes is devastating, is it not?
Yeah.
The pain is excruciating. Sometimes with all our money, with all our nice clothes and our big houses and fancy jobs, we get backed up against the wall into a situation where there is nothing that we can do. Can't write a check to get out of it. Can't make a phone call to get out of it.
Yeah.
You simply have to trust and call on God and allow him. The Bible says, be still. It doesn't say make a whole lot of noise and try and figure it out yourself. It says, be still and know that I'm God. Paul said, we're afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. And we should rejoice because of Christ. We are not crushed. We are not in despair. We are not forsaken, and we are not destroyed. Come on, somebody. For Christ's sake, we find ourselves afflicted in every way, perplexed and persecuted, but never out. Peter drives home the reality when he says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. The ordeal is fiery. It comes upon you and it packs a knockout punch, but you will get up. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout, I will get up. The enemy's goal is to devour, and the Lord's goal is to grow us in faith, trust, and endurance. Amen? And you can't endure something if you don't go through it first. How can you build endurance if you don't practice? How can you learn to run a marathon if you can't sprint? Come on, life is a marathon, and if you can't get through a simple 50-yard dash, you will fall down during the race. Endurance comes through testing. Testing comes what? Patience.
Yeah.
Anybody that was awake last week? And patience does what? Come on, anybody awake last week? Nobody, okay. It does a perfect work within you. Proverbs said, blows and hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Come on, somebody. Sometimes God has to light a fire under us, does he not? To get us moving forward spiritually. Because we become stagnant, we become complacent. And nothing will get us moving towards God like a time of trouble, will it not? 9/11 came. And the next Sunday, nobody in the United States could get a seat in church. And they kept coming, and they kept coming. And the churches did what? They responded by building bigger churches. And the people kept coming and kept coming. And then no more planes hit any more buildings. And now their church is in foreclosure.
Uh-huh.
Nothing will send folks running to the house of God like a time of trouble. Amen. How often do we pray and tell God thank you? When we measure that up to how many times do we pray and say, Lord, please help me, get me out of this. Get me out of the storm that has my fingerprints all over it. But you didn't tell him thank you for waking you up this morning. Come on, somebody. Chances are you will crack your Bible open and dust it off when trouble comes. My granddad used to say every time we went into a house, the first thing he would do, he would carry his Bible, but he would say, go get yours. And then he would watch and laugh because folks would have to go and look for it and dig for it and come out and they'd be doing this. Like we don't do it, right? Blow the dust off of it. You ought to open it up every day. It's a sword.
Mm-hmm.
A sword ain't gonna cut nobody if you leave it lay on the table.
Right.
Somebody said true that. Oh, the hood is in the house. Amen. That's all right. Sometimes God uses our troubles to inspect us.
Yes.
James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith proves patience. It's been said people are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside of them, drop them in some hot water. Right? Because we'll surely show people who we really are when we get backed up against the wall. Come on, somebody. Trouble sometimes comes to inspect us. And then sometimes God sends trouble to direct us. And then sometimes he uses trouble to correctives.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Psalm says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Sometimes the only way we can learn some of life's valuable lessons that God wants to teach us is through a time of trouble and hardship. Sometimes the only way we can learn the value of good health is to experience a bad doctor's report.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. How many times have we taken this old body for granted? Amen. We don't thank God for it. We look at it and see everything that we don't like about it. Even though the Bible says that we're fearfully, wonderfully, and marvelously made. All your lumps and bumps and all that stuff that we nip in and tuck in. And sometimes we pull stuff out and cover it up. God made you to be that way. Amen. And sometimes when you forget that, sickness comes to remind you of that good thing that you have. Sometimes we only learn the value of a marriage, of a relationship, is when trouble comes. If you marry the right one, amen. If you marry the right one, when you reach over and look over, you ought to tell God, thank you. Right? Somebody didn't marry the right one. Don't laugh and don't look to your right or to your left. God uses trouble to direct us, to inspect us, to correct us, but never to break us. Bruised but not broken, down but not out. God uses trouble then to what? Perfect us. Come on, somebody. Romans says we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. But do you know, when you and I respond to our troubles and with faith and trust in God, God will always bring us through that thing. Come on, somebody. Right now you can be perplexed as to the purpose and meaning of your trouble. Anybody have trouble right now? I got some.
Yeah.
I got some, and I actually write it in a paycheck. I got some trouble. Anybody got trouble?
Yes.
Somebody put two hands in
it. Yeah.
But look, it's not coming to break you. It's not coming to break you. That's not what trouble is designed to do. Amen. It doesn't last always. Hard pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. And thirdly, Paul says, we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Earlier, we gave a list of the hardships that Paul had experienced. Now, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was in prison, just among other things. And perhaps some of the greatest suffering Paul had to endure was at the hands of his own people. Because nothing hurts you like your own folks. Amen, somebody. Paul talks about being abandoned by one of his co-laborers in the preaching of the gospel. When we think of being persecuted, we think of people being burned at the stake or tortured or imprisoned. But by the grace of God, none of us have ever experienced that. Amen. But sometimes it comes from a family member. Sometimes it comes from one that you would expect better from. And it always hurts when we set folks up, because we put them on pedestals. They don't put themselves there. When we put people out of where they're supposed to be, when they do what they do, which is normal, and they fall down, then we are hurting, but we put them before God. Somebody say order. There's many forms of persecution. Some people get teased or mocked or ridiculed because of our beliefs. Some people get overlooked for a promotion at work simply because you're a Christian. Friends and family members will forsake you or abandon you because of your faith and commitment. Persecution in some form or another is to be expected. And Paul writes he says, all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. William and Ruth, you're about to embark on a tremendous thing. And it says, those who desire, this is the Bible, to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Get ready. Get ready. Because it's going to come, and it's going to come from where you expect it not to come from. Remember, you're going to get knocked down a couple times. But you're not going to get knocked out. Sometimes trouble is going to come. But it's not going to knock you out. Stay strong in the faith. and know that God is with you before the trouble comes.
Uh-huh.
All you have to do is just call on him. You don't have to call on him and wait for him to show up. Because if you're walking right, he's right there with you. Amen, somebody. Hard-pressed but not crushed. Perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. And finally, Paul says, struck down but not destroyed. Paul is saying we may be knocked down, but we're never knocked out. You know, Satan is going to get a lick or two in somewhere. It's going to happen. Because that's just how it is. So often, no matter how much good that you do and no matter how heavy you walk in the Lord, sometimes trial is going to come your way. Brother Catwell, sometimes trial is going to come your way. And it may not be in the form that we think it's coming in, but a trial is sometimes trying to parent a parent.
Yeah.
The Bible says once a man and twice a child. But know that God is with you. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. Somehow, in the end of this thing, God is going to get the glory, and you're going to come out of it stronger and wiser and more knowledgeable, and you'll be able to help others that are going down the same road because you've already been there. There is a purpose for everything under heaven. Knocked down, but never out. And God's grace is sufficient. Is it not? God's grace is sufficient to see us through whatever, whoever, whenever, and wherever mess comes. Because mess doesn't wear a name tag.
Yeah.
Mess will put on a robe.
Yeah.
Mess will put on a deacon pin.
Yeah.
Mess will usher and open the door for you.
Yeah.
Mess will sit down next to you in service and try to mess your spirit up.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. The supreme characteristic of a Christian is not that we don't fall. It's but every time we fall,
we get up.
We rise again. Come on, somebody. Every time we fall, we rise again. When I was little, we didn't have toys that plugged in until sometime in the 90s. Amen. I said, I don't know, I can't talk to nobody. I talk to you. Nah. All right, you got me. Maybe some of you may remember this. When I was little, I had this. It was a clown. His name was Bozo. He stood this tall, and it was round. It was a punching bag. Come on, so who said that? You didn't have one of those. Don't tell a lie or something. It was Bozo, right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. No matter how hard you punched him, he came right back up. You could punch him. You could kick him. You could jump on top of it. And as soon as you moved inside, boom, he popped right back up. Come on, somebody. But here's the thing. If you didn't understand why, you would get frustrated. And so what would you do? You kick him a little harder. You punch him a little harder. You put down both. You said, boom, boom. You punch him twice. And if you were smooth, you punch him twice and kick him in the face. And every time you did it, he'd go down real quick. But he bounced right back up. And the key to that thing was, why did he keep coming back up? Because there was something down on the bottom of him that was an anchor. There was some weight down there. It was an anchor, because if we want to be spiritual about it, because we can spiritualize anything, Bozo was saved and he was anchored in Christ Jesus. So every time I came around and punched him in the face, he rose right back up. Understand this. If you know in whom you believe, come on and help me close this out. If you know in whom you believe, if you know that Jesus is your Savior, if you know that he's able, if you know that he's willing, if you're anchored in him, let Satan hit you, let him punch you, you will go down. But if your anchor holds and it grips the solid rock, you will rise again. Somebody say, I will rise again. You will rise out of your situation. You will rise out of your circumstance. No matter what comes your way, go down if you must. But stay anchored in Jesus. down now. They nailed him there.
Yes.
He said, I got him now. But see, he had an anchor.
Oh.
And that anchor was God himself. And when God said, all right, you've been down long enough. And the glory of the Lord shone down in that borrowed school. He got up with all power and authority. And because he did it, you can do it. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. As we stand to our feet, the doors of the Lord's house are open.